As I'm developing swimmers, I have different grids that I use to that encompass different packages of principles that I use to keep an eye on where a swimmer is and where they're going towards. So it helps me make decisions what's appropriate for their training at any given moment. So one of those grids that I use is how to assign the requirements for certain qualities and quantities in a swimmer's practice. Like, when I use the term quantities, I'm referring to the distances that they need to swim, how long are the repeats, how many repeats, what's the total number of yards or meters in that set or in the practice. So those would be quantities. It could also, quantities would also refer to measuring time, measuring stroke count, measuring tempo. So anything, again, that can be measured objectively, externally to the human observer. So, and then qualities are all these things that we work on, all the technical control, the focal points, the precision in our movement patterns, the improving our body shape and stability. So the sense of ease, the sense of effort, the smoothness of the movements inside the body, the sense of coordination. These are all qualities that we are also training for. And generally we could think of these in terms of technique under that label technique, but I think we like to add more nuance to that. So when I've got a swimmer for the first time or coming in for a complete overhaul, even if it's an experienced swimmer and we really need to rebuild a lot of things, or somebody who's been injured, somebody who's new at exercise or new at swimming, the first stage that we'll take them through is where we're really focused on just achieving certain qualities in the swimmer. So we may assign distances, but what we're really focused on is the swimmer accomplishing certain qualities. And we measure success by, did you achieve the quality that you were aiming for in this set? Or where did you struggle? At what point did you struggle? And we're using that for measurements. So at the first stage, we give some quantities just so that the swimmer knows how to work and how long to work at it. But really, success is measured pretty much by qualities. Did you do it the way you were supposed to? Did you do it the way you wanted to? What was wrong with it? So we're talking in terms of subjective measurements in that stage. In the second stage, now we're starting to combine very specific quantities, so very specific distances, a certain distance per repeat, and then a certain number of repeats, and then we assign qualities to go with that. And likewise, as a swimmer is working through these sets, let's say the swimmer, I've said, okay, you're going to do 650s, and you're going to maintain a focal point on driving your hand to its best target with your hip. And so the swimmer knows that she needs to maintain a sense of precision, the connection between the hip and the extending arm underwater, and that lead arm needs to come and hit the target and pierce the target on every single stroke. So she goes along, she does the first 50, it goes all right, the second, the third, the fourth, and then it starts to get a little shaky. She's like, oh, something is causing it to make it hard for her to concentrate, or she's getting a little tired, or something is challenging her ability to maintain the precision or the standard that she's set for herself or that's been assigned to her by her coach. Her sense of success, her measurement of success is not, did you finish 650s? It is, how long did you maintain precision? That is what we're looking for. We're going to evaluate her progress based on how far she was able to progress in that set before she was no longer able to stay in control of her precision. So if I assigned her 650s and she only could do 4.5 of them before things started to fail and she was no longer able to correct it or protect it, then that would be her stopping point, and that would be the marker of what she accomplished in that practice. I don't care that she didn't finish 650s. I just care about, when did she reach failure with her particular quality standard for the day. So then progress is going to be measured by her working that same set again for a series of practices and seeing if she can meet or exceed that marker in the next few practices. So again, her loyalty in these practices is not to the quantities, her loyalty is to the qualities. So if she keeps on swimming, but the qualities that she's been assigned are total failures, she pushes through, I would consider that a mark against her on these particular kinds of assignments. Because now she's starting to practice a dysfunctional stroke pattern under fatigue. And we in this mode are trying to build only a circuit that only fires for precision. Okay, so that's stage two. Then in stage three, now I've got a swimmer who's been developing qualities and she is successful at maintaining these qualities under the distances that we've assigned up until this point. And now she's got a performance goal that she's got to meet. She's got to swim further, she's got to swim faster, and so we've got to turn up the intensity. Now, if she's been working on these qualities, certain particular features of her stroke that we know that needed to be improved, she's been working on them, and we have a sense that she's probably at this point, at this stage in the season, she's probably about as good as she's going to get this time. Then I'll have her swim those sets. Let's say she has to swim 10 100s. I'll have her swim those same sets, but now I'm going to give her the task. Her job is to try to swim at the given intensity for as many of those repeats as she can. She needs to, and as it gets difficult, she needs to do her best to solve it with better technique in the best way that she can, to double her attention, to hold her precision with her muscle strength, with her dwindling strength, as best she can. But if at some point she no longer can solve it with technical control, she must finish the set with increased power. Okay, I'm going to let that sink in for a moment. Because you think, whoa, wait a second, what do you mean? Why did you let her compromise on her control? Because if this girl is a competitor and she's in a race, she has to finish the race. She's got to get the job done. So her first priority is to try to get the job done with finesse, with technique, as much as she can. And that's what our training has been focused on. But in a race context, at the end of the day, she's got to get it done any way she can. Now, she's going to get it done the best that she possibly can if she puts most of her effort into maintaining technique as long as she can and distributing her energy as wisely as she can across the race. But and it gets in there, depending on whether it was the competitors that she was against or the conditions of the race course or just the circumstances of her day that got into the race and she's getting tired and she's not able to maintain precision as well as she could earlier in the race. Well, then she's got to get it done and she's got to maintain pace by adding more power to her stroke to try to compensate for the dwindling stroke length. It's going to increase her tempo. It's going to cause some challenges. But a competitor has got to get the race done. And she's got to do it with the resources she has on hand. So we're not opposed to training for more power. We're not opposed to training for more grit. As a matter of fact, it is absolutely necessary if you're going to rise to higher levels of achievement, higher levels of competition. You are going to solve it as best as you can each season, do a little bit better, but you're going to solve as best as you can with better technique and holding that technique more consistent over the course of the race and holding it longer than you have been before. But in the end, you are still going to need to increase power and you need to include power training in your training. But in our paradigm, in our realm, in the practices, especially if there's a coach standing on the deck, it's like, we're going to push, push, push. You are always going to be as loyal as you possibly can to your best technique at all times. But we also understand we're human beings. Energy is a scarce resource. In a race setting, energy is limited. and it dwindles at times, or conditions come up and you have to make a judgment call that applying more power is going to be better for your race strategy than trying to stay slower and smoother. And so if that's your choice, then you've got to be able to do that. So your training needs to include that kind of intensity and fatigue state training. So keep that in mind now, those three stages. Stage one is distances are really not that important. You know, doing drills, doing half-length swims, doing full-length swims with rest at the wall, doing 50 repeats, doing whatever number feels good until you just can't concentrate anymore. That is okay in stage one, where you're just swimming because you're just building the wires for the first time, or the new wires to replace the old ones. And if you get into fatigue swimming, it's just gonna blow the wires and you won't be able to do anything. So that's stage one. Stage two is you are now using quantities and hoping that you can achieve those, but you're using a measurement of distance to tell you how you're progressing from practice to practice. And then in stage three, you are required to maintain your qualities as long as possible, but you have to also finish the quantities, because that's what the race or the achievement or the challenge swim, like swimming the English Channel or swimming in master swims or swimming in a triathlon, requires. You got to get the job done. And in particular, if you are going to swim the English Channel, depending on how well you did in the water and the conditions on that particular day, what you thought was going to be a 12-hour swim could turn into a 16-hour swim. And you have got to be able to, you've got to have the grit, the mental and physical grit, to get that job done, or they're going to pull you from the water. So there is a time and there's a place for all three stages. And I would just encourage you to consider those three stages and think, which one do you need to be working in right now, according to your position in developing the new skills, or developing the fitness around those skills, or developing the grit that is going to carry you on when everything else seems to be failing. All right, you got it? So get out there and train at your appropriate level.